from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two. That's James Hamm, founder, owner, CEO of the Kings Beat, thekingsbeat.com. Become a subscriber today. You can also subscribe to the Kings Beat podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And I'm Kyle Madsen, NinersWire.com and Candlestick Chronicles podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. We're talking Kings, and we're talking about this trade that James came up with, where the Kings move a bunch of stuff in a three-team deal with the Pelicans and Hawks, and they get back Brandon Ingram. Mm-hmm. So I want to talk about the Brandon Ingram aspect of this specifically, because you started to bring it up last segment. And this is my hang-up with Brandon Ingram and the question that I kind of have. I don't believe, and I know there are people smarter than me who think the opposite of this, so I'm open to being wrong here, but I just don't think I buy Brandon Ingram as that dude. And by that dude, I mean a player who, you mentioned it, he's on the final year of his contract. So you're going to acquire this guy in a trade, and then you're going to max him out next summer. And that is my hang up, because I'm not totally sure I buy Brandon Ingram as a max player, particularly when you have Domas and you have De'Aaron Fox, and you know that you're going to have to pay Keegan down the line, or at least you're anticipating that you'll have to pay Keegan down the line. And this is the kind of deal where, are they going into the tax? Are they going to hang out on the first apron? Are they going to move to the second apron? That's the hang up for me with this, is the financial aspect of it, because I don't think Brandon Ingram is going to be a player who ultimately is worth that type of deal.
No, that's a fair critique of a trade for a guy like Brandon Ingram. I think in a bubble, like, he fits everything that the Kings are trying to do, right? Yes. So, number one, he's 26. He'll be 27 in September.
I feel like he's been in the league for a decade.
No. Yeah, so he's basically De'Aaron Fox's age.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
fits the timeline.
He fits the timeline completely. He's 6'8". He can play the 3 and the 4. Mm-hmm. He gives you the length, the athleticism. He gives you the secondary playmaking, which the Kings need desperately.
Mm-hmm.
The guy averages 5.7 assists per game, 5.8 last year and 5.6 the year before that. So he is a player that for his career averages 4.3. So just envision a guy who averages 5.5 rebounds and 5.5 assists per game. Yeah. So he can provide that as well. So the scoring aspect is something that I think the Kings could really use, because he's a multi-level scorer. He can shoot the ball well from 36% career three-point shooter.
Mm-hmm.
If you give him more opportunities off the ball, he's probably going to like bump that up a little bit, especially mm-hmm. playing with Domas.
Yeah.
So anyway, I just like him as that. Now, the problem is, you know, he played 64 games this year. He played 45 last year, 55 the year before that, 60, mm-hmm. 61, 62, 52, 59. The only time he's played 70 games in his career, played 79 as a rookie. So there is a concern there, and there is also a concern about paying a guy who doesn't play enough to warrant $200 million over 5 years or four mm-hmm. years, because that's what he's going to ask for. But I would, like, you got a couple of things going for you. Number one, you're going to have an idea of how much he's going to look for.
Mm-hmm.
That's because the Kings already have to call Jeff Schwartz, who is also Malik Monk's agent and mm-hmm. also the agent for Brandon Ingram.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have a really good idea of, like, without even asking, of what he wants.
Sure.
Like, not saying these conversations happen, but I'm saying that the Kings will know, right? And if it's like strictly a max money deal, I like him better at 26 as a max money player for this next contract than I do, say, Pascal Siakam at 30.
No doubt.
Wanting a max money, or 29, whatever yeah. he is. So, I mean, there's that. I would be concerned about the injuries just like you are. But we're looking at a guy who, as a 22-year-old, was an all-star in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not that far removed from that. And sure, he needs to stay healthy. He needs to stay on the court more.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I think there's also a culture of staying on the court in Sacramento.
Sure.
Where in New Orleans, it's
not the case.
It's A-OK for a star to not play for 40 or 60 or 82 games in a season.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of not the culture in Sacramento. So I'm intrigued. He's a guy that, again, he checks so many of the boxes. Mm-hmm. The age is right, the height, the length, the athleticism, the scoring ability, the ability to pass the ball, all mm-hmm. of those things he fits into. And whether he would fit seamlessly into your system, I'm not 100% sure.
Sure.
But the fact is that he would fit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that the Kings, I believe, would at least like look at.
Yeah, so there's two. The other little hangup I have, and this is less of a hangup because of what I'm about to say, but my other hangup is, what does his arrival mean for Keegan Murray? Because the goal with Keegan, right, is to become that secondary playmaker, and we've seen in the playing game against Golden State where it was like, dude, hey, need you right now, be that guy, and he was incredible. But then he goes out against New Orleans, and no, he's not there. And you just don't see that consistency from him on a night-to-night basis. And that's kind of the next step. Well, I think including Brandon Ingram now, who's somebody who's going to take a lot of shots, who's going to create, he's going to have the ball in his hands, that's supposed to be Keegan's role. So now you're just kind of, to me, that's capping Keegan at the player that we saw this year, where it's like, okay, yeah, good player, good contributor, but not somebody you're going to rely on night in and night out.
No, I think that that's always a concern, but I would also like sort of warn that, like, we don't know what Keegan's going to become.
No doubt.
And the fact is that you're hoping that the next step, like Keegan as a playmaker for himself,
mm-hmm.
is really the next step for him.
Yeah, right.
The real step that Keegan has to take in order for the Kings to be good is Keegan as a playmaker for himself and others.
Mm-hmm.
And that could take 2 or 3 years for him to get to.
Sure.
We're talking about him being able to play a two-man game with Domantas Sabonis, being able to hit the pocket pass and feed Sabonis at the rim, so when you don't have a Malik Monk or you don't have a De'Aaron Fox on the floor, that your primary scorer can also create for others.
Yeah.
It's something that we saw Chris Middleton become.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris Middleton, realistically, Chris Middleton and Brandon Ingram's stats are very similar,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
As far as like where they've got to in their careers. And in, like, there is a possibility Keegan gets there, but if you're the Kings, can you really wait? You didn't make the playoffs this year. Can you wait to see if Keegan not only becomes just a playmaker for himself, but the playmaker for others? Because
mm-hmm.
if not, you still need that. This team needs yeah. another playmaker no matter what.
I'm with you.
And that's the problem. We saw when Malik Monk stepped off the court and was hurt, the Kings didn't have that secondary playmaker.
Yes.
Even Kevin Herter provided that to a certain degree.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, you lost it. It's like, mm-hmm. okay, that's a big problem.
Yeah.
So I definitely think, like, look, you can still bring him along mm-hmm. at Keegan. You can bring him along at your own pace. He can still become a really, really good player. But the switchability of Ingram and
yeah.
and Murray at the three mm-hmm. and the four, like, who cares who's playing what position?
Yeah.
that would be really tough to contend with.
Yeah.
And it's something, the length and athleticism the Kings haven't had.
We talk about it all year.
All the time.
And that's where, and you said this to me. Okay, hang on. A couple things I need to do. I promised I'd get to Mitch. So we're going to get to Mitch. I'm going to put a pin in the Brandon Ingram thing.
Okay.
Because I'm going to contradict myself a little bit.
Okay.
And kind of get to the backbone of this entire discussion. But first we need to get to Mitch. 916-909-1320. 916-909-1320. Mitch, thanks for waiting. What's going on, dude?
Hey, no problem. How you doing? How's going, Jay?
Doing great. What's going on? What do you got?
Did you get a foul ball baseball game the other night? I have to ask.
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't? Okay.
No.
That's a lot to give. I like Brandy. I don't know if it's a power forward, but that's a lot to give up. I'd rather than give up first-round picks from the year 2075, 76. I don't know if they'll go for it. And one thing about Lane, I hope we can get a good pick, a good player at 13. I think we should have Carvin, though. But Atlanta was screwed up because Atlanta has drafted so many good players, and Cam Reddish and Collins and the center from USC. And they're just spinning wheels. I'd love to have Murray. I'd love to have Murray more than Trey. And thanks for taking my call, Kyle.
Thanks, Mitch. Yeah, I think long-term, I'd rather have DeJounte Murray over Trey Young, too.
Yeah, if I'm them.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. And I'm certainly, if I were the Kings, I wouldn't like propose a deal for either one of those guys. Like, they don't fit with what the Kings are doing.
No, I don't think so either. Brandon Ingram, here, I'll fit this in here. And this is just kind of the backbone of this entire thing.
Yeah.
I can sit here and nitpick and go, well, Brandon Ingram is that. But you said, like, who's the perfect player then? Like, who are you going and getting? And if I'm going to sit here in this chair and go, they need to make some kind of big move. This might be the move. We know the Pelicans want to move on from Brandon Ingram. We know they're ready to deal him now. There's a trade that you laid out here. If you're watching on YouTube, I'll throw it up here, where the Kings are basically trading for Brandon Ingram for Harrison Barnes, Davion Mitchell, Chris Duarte, and 3 firsts. And that's it. Like, I can sit here and go, yeah, but is Brandon Ingram worth a max? It's like, well, you got to try. Because if they don't make this kind of deal, then we're going to sit here at the start of the year and go, didn't do enough.
Mm-hmm.
So at some point, you got to take a swing. And what I love the Brandon Ingram idea, no, it's not my most favorite thing ever. But when it comes to availability, plausibility, living in reality, this is probably the best potential chess move the Kings could make this offseason. At some point, you got to push your chips in.
That's right. So,
all right. We got to hit a break. Good idea or bad idea next? We'll have some NBA playoff stuff coming up as well, both looking at tonight's games and then a Kings-related playoff question that I want to get to as well. That is all coming up in the final couple segments here on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
He's James, I'm Kyle. The Kings conversation today. Having a lot of fun with it. We will continue doing that throughout the summer. We're talking about Keegan Murray at the break. Somebody brought up Michael Porter Jr. He could be the Kings MPJ. Like maybe as a shooter, but and probably a better defender.
Yeah, I think comparable player.
Yeah.
Overall, he's a better playmaker for others, for sure.
Yeah.
So that's where...
Bro, I've never seen a ball stop so suddenly.
Oh, yeah.
When he gets to MPJ, it's like, all right, clear out. Our guy's shooting it.
Yeah, but I think when you look at the way that the Nuggets are assembled, you have to have that part of the time.
Dude, yes. That's what I wanted from Keegan Moore this year.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, 100%. That's it.
Yeah.
It's like, yes, the Kings have this great offense and it's movement and it's democratic and everybody touches the ball and you're utilizing the talents of your playmaking center and you're doing all this. But it's like, hey, you know what? Sometimes you just got to go put the ball in the damn basket. And the Kings currently, sans Malik Monk, have one player who does that on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
And that is way too easy to defend down the stretch of games. when you know, like, oh, they're going to put the ball in that guy's hands. Okay, everybody just go. We'll let literally anybody else shoot it. But that's why that's another, you know, Brandon Ingram, good shot creator, where final 3 minutes, it's like, yo, offense is out the window. We just need to score.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care how it happens. You just got to put the ball in the basket. You like a guy who's 6'9 and gets to his spots and can elevate over smaller defenders and score the basketball. So.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know how you find that. And then what the Kings would have to do is they would have to ask Keegan Murray to be more Aaron Gordon than Michael Porter Jr.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's a possibility. It's just like a variation on the same type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd say you'd be even like your potential there is really, really high. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you can get Ingram. I don't know. But that's the type of deal where it's not you. The Kings right now, they don't have enough, in my opinion, to go trade for Brandon Ingram because the Pelicans are a team that aren't willing to like just go away.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking to remain relevant and good.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to create a way for them to get a player that like helps improve them
mm-hmm.
and gives them variance at a different position. And maybe Trae Young's not the right guy. Maybe DeJounte Murray is the right guy. Like there's going to be different ways that you could work a deal with these two teams mm-hmm. that I think would make sense for everybody. Where again, Atlanta is rebooting and you're getting just a different look. I mean, yeah. I think you could find a way to do a deal with Clint Capella and a different player that would make sense for the Pelicans as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I definitely think that there's a way that these two teams could help each other.
So the reporting about the Pelicans is they want a star to put alongside Zion Williamson, or a different star to put alongside Zion Williamson. Well, Mark Stein reported that the Cavs, 76ers, Hawks, and Magic are the potential Brandon Ingram suitors, are teams that are being bandied about. And it's easy with the Cavs. Cavs, it's like they have Donovan Mitchell. Maybe Donovan Mitchell wants out. That's a deal that could be on the table. The 76ers, I have no idea because they don't have anyone under contract.
No, they just have, they could absorb him into contract space.
They could okay.
Yeah, that would be just like, hey, just give us your star player. We're giving you nothing.
Yeah, here's a bunch of worthless picks.
That's what I do.
Yeah.
This is not the picks you're looking for.
The Hawks, you've laid out a three-team deal that could include Trae Young. It could include DeJounte Murray, whatever the Pelicans like. Mm-hmm. And then the Magic have a bunch of dudes that could potentially be involved in that deal.
Yeah, and I would always point out that like Jared Allen is the guy that you could see that they've kind of had their eye on from a mm-hmm. distance as far as like the Pelicans when it comes to them trading with the team like the Cavs. So I don't know if it'd be Mitchell as much as it would be Jared Allen, which I don't know if that helps them at all because then they don't have a center either. So I think it'd be interesting.
Let's do good idea or bad idea real quick because I'm going to tie the Kings into this as well. If you're unfamiliar with the bit, we go through and we pick three headlines. Today we included a non-sports headline. We pick three headlines and then we decide if that headline is a good idea or a bad idea. I'm going to go bottom up here on the rundown, just by the way.
Okay.
Number one, a woman made a spreadsheet to determine if a stranger she met on a vacation is the love of her life. You mentioned it was the plot of Along Came Polly.
Mm-hmm.
It's just in real life. Good idea or bad idea?
I don't know. She's a data analyst, right?
Yes.
I guess that's okay. Because I mean, if you have to come to that, then it's not just about like connection.
Sure.
So like, I don't know. I like had a connection so many years ago with my wife and we've been married for almost 25 years. So I wouldn't know not only that I wouldn't do this myself, but I also like can't imagine what it's like to be out there like in the dating world right now with
all these just sounds awful.
It just sounds horrendous.
Yeah, so my wife and I tell each other all the time. It's like, yo, you're stuck with me regardless.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going back out there.
Yeah.
You ever seen that tweet thread? You think you want to be outside, but you don't want to be outside.
Yeah, I know someone, they're like, I started seeing this girl, and then, you know, like, you log back into whatever.
Yeah,
but then they can, but then they can see when you logged in last, but then you can also see that they logged in last, so then you're, now there's this whole, oh, wait, are you still out there looking?
No, dude, it's a nightmare.
Yeah.
Absolute nightmare.
And it's like, well, if I'm out there looking, you're looking to see if I'm looking. How do I know?
I want no parts.
No.
I so I initially knee-jerk reaction to this was bad idea because that sounds like the start of a Netflix murder documentary.
Yeah.
Where, like, she made a spreadsheet and now she's dead.
And then he found the spreadsheet.
Right. Like, right. So, but hey, no, it turns out the woman did this. She started quantifying everything about what she liked and didn't like about this guy. And when he would do something nice, you know, points and this and that, and she had a whole spreadsheet. They're married with kids now.
I wonder if she ever showed him. Shout out to her.
She had to have.
Yeah, but then I mean,
it's
be
on,
like...
It's on the internet.
Yeah, but...
He definitely knows.
But the, like, her breakdown is on the
he
internet?
He definitely knows. No, wow. Not her breakdown, but he definitely knows there was a spreadsheet.
It would be like, wow, you think that of, like...
I would it, for me, if I found that out, and again, there's some compatibility there, but if I found that out, I would need to see the spreadsheet before we move forward with this relationship.
Okay.
Like, I gotta, if you're gonna quantify me, I gotta know my stats. Let me see the box score.
Yeah. No, that makes sense.
Pause. Number two, the NFL. Regular season opener, September 5th, Thursday Night Football. It is going to be the Ravens at the Chiefs. Good idea or bad idea to have it be the Ravens? The Texans also on the Chiefs' home schedule.
I don't think that's a great idea for opening night because I want to see those teams at their peak.
Yes. That's just,
I want to see them week six or something.
Yeah, that's the conundrum, though. You don't want to put Chiefs, I don't know who they play. Broncos.
You could do Chiefs Niners. Chiefs, like,
but they play the Niners in Santa Clara.
Yeah, but
you got to have Super Bowl winner opening at home.
Okay. I'm wondering why you don't do that, though. I kind of like the idea of the Super Bowl matchup being redone in week one, regardless.
Hmm.
I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy.
I think it's a good idea.
Okay.
Get me the AFC title game rematch. Get that out of the way, and maybe they play again. This season. I'm interested to see that Texans-Chiefs game, though. That's the one I hope is later in the year.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's going to be fun.
It's going to be really, really fun.
Plus, that Baltimore
Texans
team.
Texans might just win the freaking Super Bowl, dude.
Maybe. Yeah. That Baltimore team, you're always intrigued by them early because they always have a great running back in the first couple of weeks of the season.
Derrick Henry?
That gets hurt, and then it systematically gets injured after another, and every time you think they have a running back, they don't.
Yep.
So, yeah, maybe early in the season is better.
Late in your fantasy drafts, find out the Ravens practice squad running back and go get him.
Yeah.
Just in case.
Just keep him on your
bench. Gonna get you,
tuck him.
He's gonna get you 210 and 3 touchdowns in week 17.
That's right.
Last one. Bronny James entering the NBA draft. Good idea or bad idea?
Man, it's not a good idea. He's just not there, and I feel for him because this is other star players' kids have tried to do this, tried to make it into the NBA. And the NBA is just really, really difficult.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's an NBA player in year one, year three. He's probably a G League player for the first couple of years. And whether he gets to play with his dad, against his dad, whatever it might be, okay. But last thing, if I were a player like this, I would want to get into the NBA on my own merits. Not because there's potential for my dad to go and play for the team that drafts me. And, you know, again, if he's going to go to the Lakers, that's fine. But, that's a roster spot. And are you a two-way player? You're probably a two-way player. There's a possibility he goes undrafted.
Sure.
Straight up.
All right. Well, let's ask a question then. If you're the Kings and you know that you're getting LeBron James, would you draft Bronny? We'll talk about it next on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Yeah, I'm out on spiders, man. I'm anti-spider. I get that they're good for the environment, or, you know, there's, you know, the ecosystem, and they eat this bug, which makes sure that this plant stays alive, whatever. I don't like them.
We have a guy, and like he also, like, he has a, like, spider web sweeper thing, and he, nice, like, good. Goes around the house, yeah. And, like, all the way down, mm-hmm. the hill and up the hill and yeah. on the decks and everything else. Yeah, he sprays.
Good.
I think once every 2 months?
Yeah.
Yeah. But we have to, because we live right on the water.
Yeah.
Like, it's, like, there's all kinds of bugs.
We live backed up to a creek, and the previous owner of our home has planted apple trees. And some kind of plum, maybe? We haven't been able to tell what kind of fruit it is, but there's fruit trees in our backyard, and they're massive and overgrown, and they just drop fruit, so we get all these nasty bugs that come in and eat. So it's a bad.
A little fruit flies.
We need to get our landscaping done.
Yeah.
If anybody knows a landscaper in the Bay Area, let me know.
Well, that and trees, especially fruit trees, if you don't prune them all the way back,
yeah.
then the fruit, it expends too much energy on all the suckers, the yes. long tree limbs.
Mm-hmm.
And the fruit never becomes as sweet as it should be. So.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
We tried the apples.
Just super sour.
Not a fan.
Yeah.
Not a huge fan.
But if you cut the tree way back and then yes. let it start over and then took out all, again, the suckers,
yeah.
you would actually get fruit in like a year. It would only take like that much time.
Yeah. So.
So.
Also looking for a roofing person. So if anybody knows a roofing person in the Bay Area, let me know.
Oh, you don't want a Bay Area roofing person. You want like a Antioch or a Modesto roofing person who will come to your house there.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, don't pay Bay Area rate.
Oh yeah, no, definitely not.
Oh, that's tough.
That's what I'm asking in Sacramento.
Oh yeah, there you go.
Just hey, if anybody does roofs.
A roofing contractor.
Roofs.
R-O-O-F-I-N-G, roofing contractor.
What's the plural of roofs? Roofs.
Roofs?
Not yeah. roofs.
Roofs. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyways. I have a new roof on my house. We did our expansion.
916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. That's the Farmer's Dog Talk Line. A healthy life starts with healthy food. Don, you're on the Insiders. What do you want to say, man? Hey, Don.
No, hello? Kyle, yep. Hey, what's up? This ain't Don, it's TC.
Oh, TC, sorry, our phone screener got your name wrong. What's up, TC?
Hey, my bad, bro. No, it's all good. Hey, Hammer Kyle, so listen, first and foremost, before we get started, that's a hard no on LeBron and his son. You get me? LeBron shenanigans with him being in sack, him trying to fire Mike Brown and all of me, like everything that comes with LeBron by himself, and then you add his son in the mix, bro, I'm cooling off that, bro. We have a team that's trying to get somewhere, a coaching staff that's trying to get somewhere, bro. LeBron wouldn't do nothing but stall all that out. I know he's great. I know all of that. But for me, that's a hard no for me. Also, Ham, I love that kid from UNC, bro, Harrison Ingram. He fits with our second-round pick. If we do keep that, I like that kid at 45. What you think?
Thanks, DC.
I have not dug deep into second-round picks at this point, but I definitely will look him up, and I think it would be interesting if you did the trade that I talked about where you ship these guys out, but instead of Harrison Barnes, you sent Kevin Huerter in the trade, and then you had Harrison Barnes and Brandon Ingram on your roster, and then drafted Harrison Ingram.
Whoa. That would be...
That just happened.
That'd be too much. I don't like it.
6'7". Okay, so like Harrison Ingram...
I'm in. I'm just 6'7". I'm in.
That's right. This is a type... But he's also a junior. He'll be 21.5 years old at the date of the draft. He's a really good rebounder, 9.7 rebounds a game. This is the type of guy... He's a big dude. 6'7", 233. That's a good size a wing. Now, the fact that he's not a great three-point shooter, although they say he doesn't project well as a three-point shooter, he shot 38.5%. Mm-hmm. I'm intrigued. Again, like, teams are going to be looking.
He's 6'7", and he shoots 38% from three?
Well, that, and he averages 8.8 rebounds a game.
I'm in.
Yeah. This is, look, I think you're going to see a lot of teams searching for the next Josh Hart, and this is a guy that had over 10 rebounds in a game. Holy smokes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 times last season.
Counting.
17. 17 times with 10 rebounds or more last season.
In what, 35 games?
Something like that.
Man.
Yeah, that's 37 games. That is really, really crazy.
That's wild. All right, well, TC brought it up. 916-909-1320, by the way, if you want to jump in. We've got the handoff. Damian Barling hopping in from D'Lo and KC. He'll be in here in about 10 minutes. That was it. That was the question. If you know, let's do it for the Kings first, because I think it varies by team. It's not a universal thing. But if you're the Kings and you know, hey, LeBron James will sign here for, let's call it, I'm not going to say vet minimum, but let's call it a reasonable contract.
Well, like what, the mid-level? Okay, that's all the Kings have.
Right, so let's say the mid-level.
Okay.
And you can get, are you drafting Bronny James at 13?
Of course.
You're just doing it?
Oh, if LeBron is signing for the mid-level exception?
Yeah.
And get you like a three-year with LeBron and Bronny?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm drafting him at 13.
That's it.
Absolutely no questions asked.
1,000%.
And I'm putting him on the front line, and Keegan Murray can go play the three, and he'll play the four, and you get the playmaker. Like,
oh my God, and you can play him at the five?
Well, that, and not only that, but I believe, I know this sound, this is stupid because this will never happen.
No,
none of this would ever happen.
And,
right?
That's it. Keep going. Sorry.
But the reason I'm going to bring up something, there might be one coach that LeBron James is comfortable with his son going and playing for as a young player.
Mm.
And that's Mike Brown, who helped him as a young man, like really, really establish himself in the league. And was there as like a guiding light, whether it worked out in the end or not.
Yeah.
Probably, you know, it did not. Like, they didn't win a championship together. But the fact that he was the guy that, like, was able to help him become, you know, not only a really, really great NBA player, but, you know, help guide him as a young guy.
Yeah.
I think that's something that LeBron James would at least, like, look at and say, okay, Mike Brown is there. And not only that, they have a really, really good team, and I could be the reason why they go deep in the playoffs. Am I willing to do that? Am I willing to go take a little bit of a back seat? But realistically, could you preserve yourself? Could you play another 2 or 3 years because of it? Mm-hmm. You're only a like 50-minute plane ride home.
Yeah.
You know, so, okay. Like, if that's what it took, and if he was like, yeah, I would come to Sacramento, no problem, if he dropped my son at 13, the Kings would be foolish not to say, okay.
I totally agree.
Is what it is.
I totally agree.
Because basically, in that situation, you're giving up the 13th pick in the draft for LeBron James.
Yes.
Even if it's...
Even at age 40.
39, 40-year-old LeBron James.
1,000%.
He walks in the door. You know what he would do? I hate saying this. He would make you a title contender.
He would. Immediately.
Title contender.
You're just... The Kings are way better than whatever the Lakers are rolling out. You're instantly a title contender.
Yeah.
And that's why... And so here's where... Because TC said the antics and this and that, and he ruins teams and blah, blah, blah. A, that he's not going to do that here, at least conceivably, if he's coming to play here.
Mm-hmm.
B, you'll take the antics and the crybaby stuff when you're attending the parade down J.
Yeah.
Like that's the potential trade-off there. Now, let's ground this in reality. He's not going to take a mid-level. LeBron's getting a 3-year max wherever he winds up going. And that's where this falls apart if you're the Kings, to me. Because I don't think you want to tie yourself on a 3-year max.
No, but you can't. The Kings don't have a way to give him a max. Or like,
that's it.
Would you give him a 3-year, like, $42 million deal? Yes.
But like yesterday.
Yeah.
If he requires a trade up in the draft to do that, I would do it.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's crazy. I don't think it works for everybody. And I'm not saying LeBron James would come to Sacramento. I don't think that he would.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that, you know, like those are conversations that you at least have to have.
Okay, that's
like,
that's what I was going to ask. Is this conversation or has this conversation happened in the Kings building already?
I'm sure that they've had at least this conversation of, I wonder what would happen.
Yeah.
Like if you were like, could you basically, you'd have to know beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
But again, there are ways to know. So like there are ways to figure it all out. I don't know that LeBron James is walking away from like $40 million a year to come and play with his son.
I don't think he is either.
And to be honest, like if LeBron, money shouldn't really matter to him at this point in his career. And I know
that. Go ahead.
But like, why not?
I'm kind of interested to see though. Because he's talked about playing on a team with Bronny since Bronny was in freshman in high school.
Yeah.
So this has been a thing that he's talked about. And like, I do genuinely think that's a thing he wants to do. And if it's the difference between, I'm not going to say the Kings because I want to remove them from the conversation here. But if it's the difference between signing a mid-level deal with Team X or getting a max contract from Philly, I think he would go to Team X. I think at this point he's 40 years old, going on 40. He turns 40 in December. That's crazy.
That's wild.
But like at this point, if that's been your stated goal, then why not?
Well, and not only would that be your stated goal, but your stated goal for if you're LeBron James is still to win a title. Like you one more.
Sure.
I would want to go where I have probably the best case. And I'm not saying the Kings have the best case of winning a title if they had LeBron James, but like, why not?
But here's where I think, and this has always stuck out to me because there was that LeBron James documentary about his high school days. I forget what it was called, but it came out in like 2009, I think.
Mm.
Came out a while back. And in that, there's an interview where he says like, basketball is a vessel to get me from point A to point B in life. That's how he views the sport.
Okay.
And that's why I think, unless it, you know, and his mind could have changed again, that's 15 years ago. Maybe his mind has changed. But I could very much see him being like, I've done with basketball what I'm going to do with it. My legacy is what it is. I would like to spend these last 2-3 seasons, whatever it is, playing on a team that my son is on. And ostensibly helping him grow into the NBA.
Yeah. And hoping that he grows into the mm-hmm. NBA. And that it's not just like a 3-year experiment where he's on the end of the bench and he's not going to get to play.
Yeah. Because realistically, like this is a guy who goes to his son's AAU games and his high school games. And he's there and he's been around and he's in the front of the stands reacting and enjoying the game. Does he want to be, let's say Bronny gets drafted by the Blazers. Does he want to be in Philly while Bronny is playing in Portland? I don't know. This is all obviously speculative.
I think that's why I think
he'd be willing to take a pay cut.
Yeah, I mean, I think he isn't going to go anywhere, right? I don't think. Mm-hmm. And there is like the speculation, like, is he, what is he going to do? Like, he has time here to figure out what he's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think, like, you can't throw away a pick, and like the only way you would do that is if you had some sort of idea that you're going to be able to land him.
Yeah.
And again, just for sake of argument, what if De'Aaron Fox's agent just happened to be Rich Paul and just happened to sort of know LeBron James?
Right. So that knows LeBron a little bit. Well, and that's the other aspect of this is, are they going to do, you've talked about the Trayce Jackson Davis thing for a while on this show,
mm-hmm.
and how Trayce is basically saying, need a fully guaranteed deal, not going to take a two-way deal. If you draft me, it's got to be a guaranteed deal. Could Clutch pull the same kind of thing?
Yeah.
Just get Bronny to wherever LeBron ostensibly wants to go.
Yeah, Clutch to me is like the most powerful of power agents right now in the NBA. And so you would like to know. Do we have somebody else coming?
Well, Kenny looked like he was kind of, I think Kenny was trying to get your attention, Damian.
Oh. Thought it was my day to be with y'all.
Oh, I didn't. I don't think I logged in.
We like it when both of you guys are in here. So I don't prefer one or the other. So, Damian Barling, the handoff coming up here in a second. Damian, just to get you caught up on the conversation, we're having the very original conversation of, if you're the Kings, would you draft Bronny James number 13 if you knew you were getting LeBron?
Oh, yeah, we've been over that, yes.
Yeah.
If you know, you absolutely do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I would think so, too.
Especially in this draft where everyone's, like, talking down about the draft.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure, draft Bronny. Get LeBron. And take it.
Yeah. But the question is now, would LeBron take whatever he can get in Sacramento to play with Bronny, or is he going to go get the max in Philly?
No, I don't think this is a real thing. At all.
At all?
No. I do not.
Really?
I do not think.
You think there's zero chance that he's going to dictate his next team by where Bronny goes?
Yeah, no, I do not think that.
Mm.
No.
0%? It's not even like a little?
Yeah, like zero-ish.
Because I disagree, man.
Jefferson vibes with this shirt today. Go one more button for the camera.
There you go.
There we go.
Oh, yeah.
Richard Jefferson looks like a goof when he does it.
It's hilarious.
Can't look like that.
It's like they grabbed somebody off a rooftop party and we're like, hey, throw this blazer on. Get in here. Yeah,
do TV,
talk some
bro.
Hoop. Talk some hoop. I like Richard Jefferson. Damian Barling. It's a handoff. D'Lo and KC coming up at noon. That's interesting because to me, I just talked about this in that LeBron James High School documentary. Forget what it's called, but he says in an interview in there, basketball is a vessel in my life to get me from point A to point B. Mm-hmm. And that's why I could totally see him looking at age 40 coming in December, which is insane by itself, but saying, I've done everything I'm going to do in this game. I've played for 21 years now. My priority is now Bronny. Like, my legacy is this. And going and ensuring that Bronny is getting the very best introduction to the NBA.
Yeah, but you're wrong. Like,
well,
Bron, like, LeBron's personal legacy is his children.
Mm-hmm.
His basketball legacy is not Bronny at all.
Sure.
His basketball legacy is his basketball legacy.
Right, but it's cemented
and
now.
No, it is for you and for Skip and for Stephen A. and for Shannon, mm-hmm. and for everyone who has to fire off a hot take about LeBron James. But for him, it's not. Well, no, I didn't mean that. You're
damn.
No, I didn't mean that. No, what I meant was it's mine, James,
sure,
KC's,
sure.
But it's not in his.
Mm.
Like, I believe LeBron James, especially with the way that he played this year, is looking at next year, how can I get another championship? That's the only thing I think he's thinking about. And if Bronny goes to Orlando, here's the thing about LeBron is wherever he goes, even at the age of 40, you're instantly a title contender.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that includes Detroit. That includes all of the crappy teams. Mm-hmm. Your odds will dramatically change with LeBron James on your team.
Yeah.
And there'll be people who go, bro, we saw him do it with Cleveland. You know, they'd come up with all of these different things. But you go to Orlando and you look at the team like, man, it could be really good. The whole idea was talking about Sacramento. Yeah, it works. Anywhere he goes, he's a title contender, and I believe his number one priority next year and until he retires is to win another championship.
Mm-hmm.
If it's with Bronny, great. If it's not, it's not. But I don't think he signs with the Detroit Pistons because they drafted Bronny.
No.
That's fair.
That's
fair. I've been looking at this through the lens of...
I also don't think he'll take what he can get. You know, like... Whatever the Kings can pay him.
Like the mid-level.
Yeah, no. It's LeBron James.
Yeah, I also think there's that understanding that he has to be paid
right.
like he's LeBron.
He's LeBron James. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And he should.
Mm.
He absolutely should because he's going to mean a world of value to whatever city he winds up in. Which, by the way, I think is Los Angeles. I don't think he's going anywhere.
I don't think so
he's
either.
Playing for the Lakers next year.
Yeah.
And Bronny probably signs there as an undrafted guy.
But
that's my guess.
Yeah.
But staying there, he has to know he has no chance of winning a title.
Yeah, that's the tough part. I don't see their road. I don't see their road to a championship. That's the tough thing if you're about LeBron. Like, you're really kind of betting on yourself in that regard. And maybe you're betting on, I mean, you're betting on Anthony Davis to play 70-plus games again, and then you're just trying to find the right guys to go around him.
And even that got you bounced in the first round.
Yeah.
So it didn't matter.
And that's the concerning thing.
This many
thing.
Games.
That's why I say you gotta. I just don't understand. That team doesn't strike me as that bad. That Lakers team is not.
No, they're not terrible.
To me.
But are they ascending where you're like, oh, hey,
well, no, they're
going to be
not.
A ton of,
that's right, the other that's thing. It. They're not ascending.
Yeah, but they're not they're not god-awful.
No, they're just there.
They're a seven seed.
Yeah.
They're just a collection of players.
That's what they are. Yeah.
They're not a team. They're a collection of players.
Yeah, it feels like they should be better, too. And then you've got whoever their new head coach is going to be.
Mm.
And so, yeah, you got
Oh, boy.
You got a lot going on over there.
Do you think J.J. Redick started that podcast with the idea of like, all right, this is my angle. This is my end.
It didn't hurt.
Man.
Maybe.
I think he knew it wouldn't hurt.
Man. That would be nutty.
He knew when they started that podcast, Darvin Ham was gone.
Yeah.
So
LeBron told him on day one.
Darvin Ham was freaking Dave Yeager. You knew for months he was going to be fired.
Yeah.
Man.
Brutal.
Cleveland won another game in this series? Against Boston.
Yeah. I'm not gonna. I thought it would take Boston having a really bad game for them to get one. And I don't think that's what happened. Like, I think their guys played really well in game, was it two? And I think those guys are capable of playing that. I always get antsy when they shot like 47% from 3, 48%.
It's 13-28.
That's tough, man.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna run that back again? Like, that's tough. I do that with the Kings. Oh, the Kings hit. They hit 48% tonight to get the win. All right, what's going to happen tomorrow if they shoot 39%?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think they can get another one. I don't think they will.
I don't either.
But I'm not going to discredit them again. I discredited them once since this started, and they have a team that I really like. They're just not on Boston's level.
No. You think they get another one?
No.
I don't think so either.
Yeah.
Dallas go up 3-1 tonight?
I don't think so. No, I'm going to go no. I don't like doing predictions, but
that's
okay,
a coin
okay,
flip.
See, OKC, you got to get one back.
I think you're going to get a PJ Washington game that James, like you were talking about earlier, where he gets like 7 points and all of a sudden Luka's knee injury looks like a bigger deal than it than or looks like an actual deal. And I think OKC gets one tonight.
Luka did a good job of pulling back a little bit last night. He does not do that very often.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing like Kyrie was doing what he was doing, and PJ doing what he was doing, that was as strange as it is for a guy who's scored 50. It's one of his bigger playoff moments.
Yep.
Like, no one will care because of what it was. But he pulled back and let those guys do what they were doing well,
yep.
and he trusted them. And yep. I don't think that's ever happened with him before, ever.
Definitely hasn't. Definitely hasn't. A lot of growth.
Step. Yeah, right. That's a big step for Luka and that team.
What do you guys got coming up?
A lot more of this, that's for sure. A lot on basketball. A couple of things, just Ice Cube, Big Three, some cool little notes there. NFL season stuff. That schedule's getting released, and then our insider, James Hamm.
Can't wait. D'Lo and KC coming up next on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. We will see you tomorrow at 10 a.m. Boom!
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.